The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
What else happened today? Well, counting has begun in the Shannon elections because polls closed for the NUI panel and the Dublin University / Trinity College panels at 11 a.m. Today. We will have a whole host of new senators before long. What will they actually do, though? The Economist, David W. Higgins, is with me, as is Associate Professor in Political Science at DCU, Owen O'Malley. David, I might start with you. What is the Shannon and where does it fit in our system?
The Shannon it's the upper house. It's the second house of Parliament. It's a place where legislation is debated and checked for problems that might arise if it's come from the Dáil. A lot of countries have two chambers where there's checks and balances, but a lot of countries also just have one. And Ireland is a bit of an outlier that we still have two, even though we're a relatively small country.
And is that generally the thing that makes the difference internationally, the size of the country? The bigger the country, you're more likely to have two?
That's typically the trend, yes, yes. Similar smaller countries in Europe, for example, typically don't. Cyprus, Malta, Denmark, even Finland, populations of 5 million. You go to Portugal, population of 10 million. They get by with one house. But there are certain functions that the Shannon, if you shut it down tomorrow, wouldn't have, which is the extra checks and balances. You would need an extra committee system or something to more rigorously debate legislation.
What's the point of it, Owen?
I was just asking myself that. It you make it sound great with checks and balances, but in reality, there are very few checks that happen in the Shannon chamber. I mean, one of the things that it was originally meant to do was give representation to Protestants. So when the new state came in, this was one way, because they mightn't necessarily get elected, at least we'd have their voice heard. And so, like a small country like Ireland, with that kind of split between Protestant and Catholics, it needed it. But really nowadays, probably doesn't need it, especially as our Dáil is growing. Another reason we might want to have a Shannon was because the Dáil was pretty small. And so by the time you took out all the government ministers, you didn't have a huge number of people to populate a committee system that could do it properly. And so the extra 60 senators were helpful for that. But now the Dáil is growing and is likely to grow as the population grows, so I'm not sure that it is needed. It hasn't saved us from any great calamity. Those calamities happen anyway.
Might we need it, though, if there was a united Ireland? We'd have to put Arlene Foster in the TUV somewhere.
Yeah. Back in the back room. Yeah, we would have to put them somewhere. And I mean, you could see that you wouldn't necessarily want Northern or ex-Northern Irish, now Ulster TDs, like, say, an Arlene Foster or her daughter, might not necessarily be represented in large numbers in the Dáil in a united Ireland. So as part of the settlement, you might want a slightly stronger Senate where their representation was kind of boosted somewhat.
What actual powers do they have, David, in terms of legislation that's making its way through the Houses of the Oireachtas? To what degree can they change it? Can they veto anything?
Yeah, so in the Shannon, you can introduce legislation. You can offer amendments to legislation. You can't veto. You can delay legislation for a time. But actually being as powerful as the Dáil, that power just isn't there. I think that the litmus test of that is that a Dáil has met and has been able to form a government, but hasn't required any involvement of the Shannon. So if you're in a country like Italy, if you want to get a government formed, get a confidence motion, initial vote passed, you got to go through their chamber of deputies and the Senate. There's equal powers between the two chambers.
And so is it reflective sometimes the need for a second chamber of maybe kind of a more divisive politics in a society?
It can be that if your countries, which are quite diverse in their populations, take the US, they've got senators that are elected two from each of the states, and the states are very different. There's red states and blue states, and having two voices from each of the Dakotas, but just only two voices from California, is a way of counterbalancing different voices. We're somewhat lucky in Ireland in that we don't have that same wide differences between corners of our country. But as Owen rightly points out, if you did have a united Ireland, you may use a Shannon to create that kind of diversity of representation.
So what would we lose anything if we got rid of it?
Well, if you got rid of it today without other checks and balances in place, you would lose something. I will give the example of the hate speech bill that went through last year. And it was when it got to the Seanad that the most vocal opponents to it were heard. And it's when the government backtracked. And there was also the gambling regulation bill where amendments were also put forward in that and accepted. That's not to say you should keep the Seanad. I'd be in favour of scrapping it and putting more beefy committees in place, but shutting it down on its own would be the wrong step.
Does it serve a purpose in that regard then, Owen, where maybe genuine debate or discussion happens rather than the bun fights that we've been looking at in the Dáil, for example?
Yeah, you do tend to see that the debate is a bit more measured and there's less showboating goes on there. And you do see that there are times when government ministers go in and hear, you know, problems with, say, a piece of legislation that they're bringing through. They seem more inclined to listen to senators than they do in the Dáil, where it is all it's us versus them. And so, I mean, you could argue that there needs to be a place where that happens. And I mean, whether it's a Senate or whether it's at the committee system, you know, you could have a debate about that.
Seanad reform is a great thing people love to talk about. It never really happens. Well, there's sometimes it happens. I mean, my franchise has been diluted because they're letting people from DCU have a vote. This is a bloody disgrace. Yeah. Well, I've had to agree from DCU as well. They won't let me vote twice. That's my issue. It's my main issue.
Yeah, look, as a Trinity graduate, I'm disappointed with this change.
Oh,
well,
yeah, you and the Protestants are really, like, I mean, you've really been short-ended by it. But, I mean, this was the great stroke, wasn't it, that those campaigning, when we had the referendum on those who campaigned to retain it, I mean, it was a masterstroke, really. They convinced people that in voting to retain it, they were voting to reform it. That, you know, it wasn't keep it, it was abolish it or reform it. And then Kenny was trying to say, that's not the offer.
Yeah, and he was right, they were wrong. But I mean, it was a good way of campaigning, and they did sell people reform. But I think we're on our 9th or 10th or maybe 11th, I'm not sure, Seanad reform report.
Yeah.
Nobody has any real interest in doing it. If, you know, this, governments have a certain amount of bandwidth. They can do a certain number of things at any one time. They're not going to waste any time on Seanad reform. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
They couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, and it suits the government to a degree, doesn't it? From a political point of view, it's handy to have a Seanad.
Seanad works pretty well for governments and for bigger political parties generally. You know, it is a way, because you control the councillors, you can control who's in the Senate. And especially in the government, we've got a more or less inbuilt majority because the Taoiseach gets to nominate 11 senators. And so it means that certain jobs, people on the way up, people going down who maybe lost their seat, you've got a place to put them with the hope that maybe they will get back in. And there aren't that many kind of lifers in this Seanad. A lot of them just don't want to be there. They're happy to be there, but they'd prefer to be in the Dáil.
Mm.
And the government parties and the major parties just use that as a way of identifying people, give them a bit more profile in the Senate, and then they'll have a better chance when they run for the Dáil.
David, you gave the example of the states, and there's not different electorates. You know, you can vote equally in them all. And joking aside, I mean, is that the reform you would bring in? Would you just get rid of it? What would you change?
I'd be more on the side of rid of it than expanding it. I mean, you know, our elections are complex enough as they are, and they take a couple of days in each constituency. If you were doing that in a separate Seanad directly elected vote, that would be really cumbersome and I think unnecessary as well. So yeah, I'd be more on the side of reform. Problem with, just to take up on Owen's point about reform, is if the government went to reform and tried to make it stronger, they could create a thing that's too powerful versus the Dáil. And they could also...
Well, sorry, government TDs are appalled at the idea that, like, local authorities might have a bit more power than they currently do. They're not going to give it to the lads down the end of the hall in the Seanad.
No, they're not. Yeah, and the risk is...
Turkey's voting for Christmas type thing.
Exactly, and we've just seen that in the new government reforms, it's not a very thin majority, but, you know, you're usually on a fine line with majorities. If you're having to
Neil
then
Martin
manage...
had 20 votes to spare, so today,
yes,
it's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, it's good. They'll be happy with that. But when it comes to something more contentious, if you're just about on the line in the Dáil and then also the same in the Seanad, that becomes just more politically onerous. And it actually becomes more complex to actually get things done.
And it also brings, I mean, you have a problem in Germany where you have a very strong second chamber, which the kind of the local, the regional lender, as they're called, elect. It means
no harm, they have checks and balances there now, Owen.
Fair enough. I thought we were all friends of the Germans now. It makes it very difficult for a German government because, I mean, they might have thought that they have a majority, but then suddenly halfway through your term, you suddenly have lost that majority because you've lost it in the upper house. And it just kind of makes doing politics, makes getting things done harder. I mean, and so one of the things we can see in the world is that certain countries are kind of hearing ahead, doing well. One of the things that they do have in common is that they don't have a huge number of checks and balances. And so maybe having too many checks and balances, slowing everything down, might also cause problems.
Well, sorry, it strikes me that the function that second chamber serves in some of those other countries is actually fulfilled in this country by the permanent government, isn't it? It's the civil service prevent things happening too quickly.
Yeah, they'll slow things down. Yeah. They will kind of say, are you sure, Minister? And it will be, and they will probably be able to prevent things from happening if it really needs to be stopped. But ultimately, ministers have signed things, and you know, when an executive order is signed, it will happen, even if it runs into difficulty.
Our system like that, it's inherited, of course, from the British. But the one thing we didn't inherit was the base that the House of Lords set up, where you have hereditary peers, you have bishops having a corner of the seats, ministers or TDs just being able to appoint extra numbers of people to kind of get their majority through. You know, our one has problems, but the House of Lords, I would offer as an example of, well, thankfully, we don't have that.
Good things could be worse, essentially. David W. Higgins, Owen O'Malley, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.